Blog Talk Radio. Hello, everybody. I'd like to welcome you to Garden of Enlightenment with Louie Wildove, Katie, which is Weaver of Dreams, Poetic Picasso, R. Frank, and Gray Eye Smith. And we're going to start our show today. This is going to be on Front Page Picks, also Open Poetry. And you're invited to call in and read along with us and listen. You can find our group on allpoetry.com. We are called the Late Night Poets. And all these radio shows and After Midnight are provided by our own poets from all around the world that donated their poetry and books. And you can find them on Amazon.com. They're beautiful. They make great gifts and look great on the table. And where can you get poetry from all around the world with various different types of poems and poetry? And you can, like I said again, find us on Amazon, Late Night Poets Anthology. And we got tons of poetry. So I'm going to go ahead and stop in and pick up my callers for tonight. And caller 585, who am I speaking with?
Good evening, Louie. It's Laurent.
It's the buttery voice man. Hey, Laurent. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm getting better. Just caught.
You sound good. You sound good.
Yeah, I feel better. I caught two viruses, one behind the other, and it kind of like messed up my lungs really good there. So I'm happy to be talking. I may cough. Yeah, but you know how it is. The last thing to go is that cough.
Hey, a quick shout out to any of our members who live in California right now and are undergoing some really bad flood stages and flooding. It's pretty bad up there.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. You know, prayers go out to them. I hope they're safe, and thank you, Laurent. And Laurent, it looks like it's me and you tonight. I don't know where Miss Kim is.
I've heard worse news.
No, I don't mind. So it'll be me and you. So let me go ahead and start copying this and poem out. And if you would please do me the honor to be the first one to read. And here we go. This is by Seagoth, and go ahead.
All right. Well, it's hard for the genre to be good in 2023. Seagrass. Hard for Johnny to be good in 2023. Long-range weapons of mass destruction. Gentle obsession is de rigueur. Skirts fly, revealing made-in-China cod pieces. Fishy smells ooze from the drains in Davos. Metaphor layers metaphor. Life imitates pseudodos. And Alice through the looking glass swallows disappearing pills. Let's snooze and dream for good men. And what is a good man in this modern dark age of corporate newspeak and endless rabbit holes? A tinker, tailor, soldier, spy. Captain America. Little Boy Blue. Oscar Wilde. The man filmed openly selling children to sex traffickers on war-torn borders. They're a mark of the devil. Poet asks if war means anything. Tarred and feathered collaborators from World War II France and the Emperor Nero, fiddler of Rome, could answer that question if they weren't dead. The victim is napalm. Barrel bombs will never forget. Herod was a newborn, so was Hitler, Stalin and Pol Pot. Their chubby baby faces innocent of the crimes history remembers. Since Egyptian pharaohs, little people of the world, the cannon fodder, pay taxes, scrimp and save, build little businesses, look for hope in the ideas of May. Pray for those that despise. End poem.
You did such a wonderful job of reading Sea Glass's poem. it's hard for Johnny to be good in 2023. You know, when you look at history and what starts the wars, what we see that happen during wars, and, you know, she brings out so many different, facts here, but she also layers them in powerful, deep metaphors where I really like where you read metaphor, life imitates studios, and Alice through the looking glass swallows disappearing pills. You know, she just brings up so many different things here. And especially I like the last paragraph, you know, where, you know, she does talk about how the little people just try to survive with all this chaos, with all these ruling classes, and, you know, try to make a life and, you know, and try to survive in this world. And I thought she did a fantastic job of doing this. And, you know, it's like I was looking at the quote, what distinguishes good people from bad is how they behave and how they, what they do for society and what they do not do for society. What did you think, Laurent?
I was rather moved by the piece, actually. It's a clever mashup of all things in our lives, perhaps, let's say, mm-hmm. the last 100 years. It's a jump from today's long-range weapons of mass destruction, you know, the obsession mm-hmm. with sex, with everything being made overseas, with Big Pharma. And it all leads us to ask the question, where is a good man in this modern world? And it begins with Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. He's the Captain America, Little Boy Blue, things truly American. Oscar Wilde, poet who's notoriously gay, followed by an observation on children being sold to sex traffickers on war-torn borders. Not that one reflects the other, but there is a connection in a manner of speaking. And the eternal question of what does war mean? And we get some answers from looking at and some looks at history. And after all that, being able to say that they pray for those that despise us.
She was talking about the border, which just made me, you know, think about how a lot of people traveled, you know, all the way over across the border to get dental work, to get prescriptions that they can't afford here, medicines and doctors. And then I remember they decided you could just walk over there. You know, we had always walked when we were teenagers. We would always go walk over and go into the discotheques and to go out and eat there afterwards. You know, and then show up back in the United States to do our work on the hospital floors. And, you know, then they made it to where now you need a passport, which now has, you know, more expense to try and keep Americans from crossing over into the border. It's just, I don't understand, you know, especially when the news brought out, I think it was 60 Minutes or something like that. But one of the news channels that talked about one of the medications that they sell overseas and in Europe, they only have to pay $30 for, like, for example, I think it was insulin or something. But here in the United States, you have no choice but to pay $500. You know, so
I think that's reflected entirely in the title. It's hard for Johnny to do good in 2023. Every time you turn around to do something that seems logical, it's against the law. Yeah.
Exactly. Good point, Laurent.
Great
Thank
piece.
You so much. Yes, I agree. Now let me check my phone lines because I don't know where Weaver's at. I hope she's okay. Okay. We are going to now listen to a SoundCloud by Chanowski, and it is titled Monsters Sleeping in Shadows, and he did a recording and give me just a second because it's so hard for me to see with this little writing. Here we go.
It's morning time. or evening breeze, button bodice gloves, skull bone shuffling madness, home under crystalline covers, empty unwrapped meds, color coded. And the fleeting thoughts are miles ahead, mumbling roof beam prayers nobody understands. I'll go turn myself off and go down, then turn it up all the way down, watching myself in mirrors hanging around. Meadows of flowing silver grass, cocoons in hibernation, then high-pitched butterfly whispers stir inside a miniature world, diving into perception. Our wide eyes are gates, imaginary doors from which spirits escape. Just objects left in frozen frames, neatly drifting from dark voids, muffled moans, grunted creatures revealed as tiny worms beneath rocks, hiding behind any god. Tossing moons, engraving thoughts, diving into painted pools, rusted signs with all their fucking rules. I wore a shirt that saw no future, where nobody understood my pain, my grumbling brain, a raging machine that's dragging me down. Something broke inside the crippled country worn, caught inside porcelain borders, monsters sleeping in shadows, web in air, a hopeless ornament, my beautiful truth, my strength.
I want to thank Janowski for that fantastic SoundCloud. I liked that empty feeling that he portrayed in the background where, you know, how we're always searching for things. We look for answers online. We look for answers with connection, we have to deal with so many things and rules and not to do's and can't do in our lives. And, you know, that it just drags you down. But, you know, he says that he feels like a hopeless ornament, my truth, my strength. And I was just looking at some of his comments. And he says that if we can relate to this, to meet those highs and lows, to keep strong and channel them to your strength. And another comment he says that we use our human frailty to find a unique strength. And, you know, I do find this in writing poetry, and I thought he brought that up beautifully. What did you think, Laura?
Can you imagine what it would feel like if the air itself, invisible as it is actually webbed like a spider web, and you had the same sensation of walking through a spider web as you do when walking through the air? What a simile. What a metaphor for the way that he feels as he moves. And this implies somebody who's not taking their meds, home under crystalline covers, empty, unwrapped meds, color-coded. Nobody understands. I'll go turn myself off. We do turn ourselves off. But there's another part of us that turns ourselves on and leads us into almost a feeling of insanity. Our wide eyes are gates. Imaginary doors from which spirits escape, just objects left in frozen frames. You know, you're stuck in an awful place. And if you are revealed as a tiny worm beneath rocks, hiding behind any god, you know, willing to take any belief that's going to save you. What? Oh, I'm good Lord. I'd speak more, but I know you have things to say.
No. It's good, you know, because, you know, if you look at the next stanza after the one you were reading, that he wore a shirt that saw in the future where nobody understood my pain, my grumbling brain, a raging machine that's dragging me down, you know. Our thoughts, you know, sometimes, whether it's due to PTSD or it's due to depression or it's just due to everyday life where, you know, you feel like you're just being swallowed up, you know, and why, you know, why struggle, why try? Because it's just the same result over and over again, but, you know.
Well, when he says monsters sleeping in shadows, webbing air, it implies an entire other I don't know if it's a person or a society, establishing the rules in a way that allows them to use you as
yes.
a hopeless ornament, if you will.
Yes, but, you know, when you also, the way I look at it when I was reading this comment says, we may feel like this hopeless ornament, but these ornaments, when they gather together, they do decorate something beautiful, you know, and you can share that pain with each other. You know, and that's what I love about poetry, and that's what I love about, you know, private messaging is that, you know, we can check on somebody that we read their poem and, you know, just to see how they are. You know, it's a way of this ornament, like in poetry, sitting there, but it is adored by so many of us that read it, you know, admire the poem, at least for me. I really liked your perception on this, Laurent. Thank you. Okay, we are ready for our next poem. It's by Symphonic Blues. And come on, click. Memories of our autumn. And I'll read this. One. Cornflower liniments crisscross tussed lattice of scarlet Bordeaux, blooming between silver moon shutters, warm ginger sighs, dawn infuses eyelashes with hibiscus tea and warm rays of tangerine, mosaic colors staining the naked canvas, pale pompous sculpt language and sound. Two, morning dews, moth spiders transit web, gravities through so diaphanous, an alchemy of word glances, liquid ambiguous carousel, maple veins radiating axle in and out, charcoal moonless nights, vestments bosom feeding, planting, painting, writing, created in comfort, renewing tranquility, silent syllables, recorded air, rest and being, unexplored roads traversed, eyes among the viewless gales, cobblestone, champagne, apricot, lamp shades, mahogany, vineyards, quilted gourd. Three. We threw pennies in the roaring flood, childish dreams traveled, planks upon the old wooden bridge, lips traced cherry rouge, stepping stones across artery skin, misty ripples entwined, burnished limbs, cinnamon honey speckled among canola wildflowers, riverbanks kissing mulberry, sumac red rose ink frost. Four. Copper butterflies glide, crickets nestle in cotton shallows, borders gurgling water, breeze fluttering through apple bark, blood orange alfalfa, garbs wrapped with the earth's heat, shrews stroll, mice run through thistle foxglove groves, cedar footsteps yawn over hidden rabbit holes, pockets crunch twig below. Fine. Amber sap oozing in autumn's rustling beneath the dim blue vault of night, the moon with the wayworn notes of joy and care. Like clouds sail on glassy streams, like visions flown voyagers, our winged flight, a sundress draping jar of fireflies, fading silent distant west, the heartache, twilight trembles, light has faded upon sunbeam dress. In poem. Oh my goodness, this was beautiful. What did you think, poem by Zonnet, by Blues?
Well, first, I can't think of a better voice to have read that poem. Its tone was reflected in your voice, and your voice reflected the tone simultaneously. It was was a very happy marriage. So bravo on that read. I almost don't know where to start with this. The metaphors are strong, subtle, colorful, ambitious, and they succeed almost all the way through. I mean, initially when I read this, I thought it was one of the finer nature poems I've read in years. And then I thought about the subtlety and the color, the texture of the imagery that was used in here. For instance, copper butterflies glide, crickets nestle in cotton shallows, boulders gurgling water, reeds fluttering through apple bark. And then that bit about the blood-red orange alfalfa, furs wrapped with the earth's feet, earth's heat. I really got to give it to the poet. That was my clues. Just a stunning.
I agree. And, you know, it's just something that when you read his wording, you get so enraptured by the beauty and the colors of how he's describing autumn. You can just see all those burning, fiery colors, the scents that just captivate you. You know, he brings out so many things like copper butterflies glide. I also liked when he talked about fireflies and, you know, sunbeams. It was just gorgeous. And one of the stanzas that, you know, I love the blood orange alfalfa. But what, you know, when you could taste it, you know, he talks about cinnamon honey sprinkled among candola wildflowers, you know, the riverbanks kiss mulberry. You know, I could just see the trees, leaves just turning that wine color and, you know, rippling off the glassy surface of water. And, you know, you could just taste, you know, like the lips trace cherry rouge stepping, you know, the way that I feel when I'm in nature. And, you know, the champagne apricot lampshade mahogany. I mean, I could just go on. I basically could read the whole poem again. You know, the tangerine colors, you know, the hibiscus tree. I mean, I could taste fall and, you know, you could just be as, you know, just taken into every stanza that he wrote. It's just beautiful. It's one of the, like you said, one of the most beautiful poems I've read. And I liked, oh, we got a caller. Oh, yay. Okay, caller 715, who am I speaking with?
Hey, Lou, it's Pam.
Hi, Pam. Hi, Pam. Welcome to the show.
Oh, glad to be here. Figured, you know, I was thought it'd be fun to hang out with you and Lawrence. So looking forward to it.
Happy to have you. Always love having you. And I would like to ask you, were you able to hear the poem that was just read?
Unfortunately, I was not, and I haven't gotten a chance. I know Xylophonic Blues work, and it's always absolutely stunning, but I didn't get to delve into reading into this poem, so I'll leave a written comment when I needed to.
Okay, thank you. So let me pick up our next poem, and welcome to the show, Pam. And this is by Nuno Cardoso. If you would please read his poem.
Did you want me to read it?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. I like it. Cracking the whip and putting me to work right away. All right. All right. This is Monsters Wait Patiently for Love by Nuno Cardoso. And it goes like this. Today I wrapped skelly-like fingers around a tall and black background slim monster can with the green melting M logo pumped with sin and energy. Monstrous, just as I can be at times. I took it straight out of one of the shelves of the fridge, and it was clear as children often are on playdates that it had been dropped on the floor and rolled like lovers do on grass, hungry for midnight snacks on Lisbon's light, poles that expose New Braunfels poinsettias. However, I did not erupt in the volcano's fizz. My African Portuguese descent, thick and chapped lips, would tap the aluminum bump on the energy drink can into the 9 p.m. star-filled sky that is a little rough around the edges. I then called you on Discord, and you hung my throat on loose hangman nooses, so I decided to listen to the dead air static of water-filled clouds ready to deploy at any given second, parachuting thunder and acid rain, zigzagging between the trees and clashing on the obsidian rocks that cover my gray matter. Lava long ago put out that created the islands of you. Please, I beg of you, cover this grave in my chest with a kiss that an undertaker dug, promising forever tomorrows. My American lady of the rocking boat gently embraced these Portuguese docks. Hello, baby, I'm back. I was talking to my sister. End poem.
Thank you, Pam. You did a great job on reading Nuno's poem. He said that he wrote this about love, waiting, sass, monster, energy, drink, and hope. And, you know, he combined all of those so fantastic. And you did such a great job in reading this. You know, sometimes, you know, like he says, he feels like a monster. And he's got to have that monster drink, you know, to kind of charge you up and give you some energy. You know, I liked how he brought out that he was looking for his midnight snack, you know, and I guess he must have been, his girlfriend must have been trying to get a hold of him, and she wasn't getting anything because he was on the phone with his sister. And so, you know, he, for me, it was like he told her, look, I'm back, you know. And, you know, the other thing that I liked about this was where he brought out that, you know, this deep love that he has for hope. And, you know, I really like that ending stanza where he says, please, I beg of you, cover this grave in my chest with a kiss that an undertaker dug, promising forevermore tomorrow's my American lady of the rocking boat gently embrace these Portuguese docks, you know, for that love that you develop for somebody, no matter how we think of ourselves and what we're going through, that we crave that love. And at least that's what I got out of it. How about you, Laurent?
Well, I love the way he used the Monster energy drink as a central crutch, if you will, for imagery, for disparate imagery that didn't necessarily go with that. For instance, he describes the can as pumped with sin and energy monsters, just as I can be at times. So he takes that can and turns it on its side and describes how it fits him. The act of taking the can off the shelf is then connected to children as playmates and rolled like lovers do on grass, hungry for midnight snacks, and moves on to Lisbon's light poles that expose New Braunfels poinsettias. All of that drawn from the can. And he returns to it with, however, I did not erupt in the volcano's fizz. And why not? Because he knows that the tap, the top of the can will prevent it from fizzing. And he uses my African Portuguese descent, thick and chapped lips, would tap the aluminum bump, and then throws it up into the sky, a little rough around the edges. I just loved what he did with that can and the interplay with the imagery. It was very, very skillful.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Thank you, Ron. What a fantastic comment. And Pam, you did a wonderful job in reading it. What did you think?
This is definitely a skillful write. I really like how he uses everyday imagery mixed with, almost out of this world metaphors. Like you take something like an energy drink taken from the fridge and mixes it in with the 9 p.m. star-filled sky and the parachuting thunder and acid rain, and it all works so well together. I thought had just brilliant imagery and metaphors, and I thought it took a great look at the idea of love and insecurity in everyday life. And I wasn't quite sure if it was him waiting for her to call or her waiting for him. But I got the impression that somebody was waiting. And, you know, it's that feeling you get when you really need to talk to the person that you love, or you really need to talk to a friend and they're not calling back. So your overactive imagination and your insecurities come rushing out, and you just need to hear from that person. You know, so just an excellent write and very well done.
I agree. Thank you, Pam. And callers. 763, who am I speaking with? Hey, Dexter.
Hey.
Welcome to the show. How you
Glad
doing?
Pretty good.
Hey,
how are you? Hey, Laurent, Pam.
Hello.
And Dexter, it's great. It's good to hear your voice. What did you get to hear Nuno's poem and Pam's read?
I did, and I enjoyed it quite a bit. You know, it was a little bit of anxiety, but I could be wrong about my interpretation. I almost pictured it as, have you ever been there with somebody and then somebody like calls you and it's like a woman's voice on the phone and the person's there with you, like, who is that? Who is that? You know, and it's like, well, who is that? You know, and it's a woman's voice. So I didn't know if it was like he was waiting to call his wife, or if she was wondering who the hell he was just talking to on the phone and just sitting right next to him. So that's why I was like, it was a great poem, though, I thought, either way.
Yeah. You know, this is why I like commenting on poems afterwards, because I love to hear what people have to say and what they see. And I want to thank all of you. Thank you so much. And I have dropped in our next poem. It's by Joseph Kushner. And Dexter, if you don't mind, I'm going to put you to work like I did Pam. And would you like to read it?
Not a problem. Yep, this is by Joseph Kushner. This is Falling Snow and Bright Lanterns. Snow cascades through frosted night as tracks are heard from coming through the sleepy briar patch. The old saddlebag, faded leather with thin lines running across the opening flat, is covered in caked winter white. The sentinel horse plows through pine boughs and barrens branches alike. The path gives way to heavy forest. The king must receive the message, but the weathered soldier step up, camp for the night as winds wail and the snowstorms increases in wrath.
You did a fantastic job in reading this, Dexter. I really enjoyed listening to you. And, of course, Joseph, he writes such fantastic poetry. I really enjoy his poems. And, you know, it brought me back to, you know, it brings us back to a time in era where the horse was the messenger and the rider. And, you know, I can just imagine them going through this winter white, thick landscape, you know, and, you know, because a message has to get through the king because it's dire and it's important. And I love where he took that photograph with. This was excellent. Congratulations on his front page pick. What did you think, Laurent?
To be able to take an image of a lantern, a bough heavy with snow, and give us a small story, just enough of a story for us to use our imagination. The way it began, it was very emotive. Snow cascades across the night as tracks are heard coming through the sleepy briar patch. Immediately, we're drawn to the tracks of the frosted night, the sound that snow may make us. It's a heavy footprint or a heavy footfall hits it. And you learn that it's the sentinel's horse. He must proceed because the king must receive the message, but has to set up camp instead.
Mm-hmm.
The night as winds wail and the snowstorm increases its wrath. It's a wonderful little little picture of a larger moment that I thought was absolutely charming.
Great. Thank you. Wonderful comment. And how about you, Pam?
I really like this. I always enjoy and appreciate what Joseph Kushner can do with imagery. And I like that in only 16 lines, he's really told us an epic tale and left us hanging with the last stanza, which, you know, I like that feeling of suspense because you know that this message must be delivered to the king, but it doesn't get delivered, and so you have to wonder what happens next. And I really like this all the way through. But it was definitely the imagery and the lines of the second and fourth stanza that really spoke the most to me. So very well done. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Pam. Excellent comment. And Dexter, you did a wonderful read. What did you think?
You know, I think that when talking poetry-wise, when you're talking about something, you know, a little bit old-fashioned, you know, more 19th century or, you know, 18th century. And then all of a sudden, then when you're talking about something like a contrasting thing, the snow falling and then the warmness of the lantern, it's like all of these nostalgia things. And I think he captured that so well because it's almost like for some reason we feel as if it's kind of like a relief, like I'm going to hunker down here or I'm going to do this. But, I mean, I think the reality back then is that would have been pretty hellish moment. It would have probably been pretty miserable, but for some reason we kind of fantasize about these things. This is kind of a mm-hmm. romantic image, and I thought that he did a fantastic job on capturing all of that.
I agree too. Thank you, everybody. And I have dropped in our next poem, and this is a collaboration between Teresa Strechenhoff and David Brompton. And Laurent, you're our next reader.
All right. Love Conquers All, David John Brompton. To see beyond the deception takes courage and strength. The test of life is a limited length. In the end, if we're really judged true, does it matter if we act like a fool? Trying to keep this horseman headless, trying to fight through all this mess. Down on your knees, praying to be blessed. Help yourself become your best. Sometimes it feels like we have no choice, like we've lost the will to use our voice. But even in the darkness, there's a little light. So we can see, continue to fight. And fight with all our might to bring our work to a whole new height. Make ourselves a better me. And always strive just to be. The fight will continue every day. Excuse me. The fight will continue every single day, pulling at us to give up our way, sucked into a world of lies, ensuring a dark and deadly demise. Trying to push us off the beaten path and trying to make you see some wrath. Just stay strong and never give up or just stray. In the new amazing life you have just made. For if we act on our desire for wrath, surely it lead us to a tragic path. If we find the strength to fight maturely, chosen paths will lead to purity. Beware of those who project fear, for they will crush all you hold dear, infecting your ideals with your self-hate. Path of love be your chosen fate. Love can win. It can be the authority. Keep that emotion the seniority. Love can be pure and ever so flighty. It can also mighty. End point.
Well, you did a fantastic job in reading Teresa's and David's poem. You know, there's so much truth in this. You know, I have always, and I will always believe that love conquers all. And, you know, what he wrote here is that, you know, at times life for some of us isn't so easy. So we have to fight through all this mess. We have to learn how to overcome adversity, and especially when somebody wants us to lose all control, especially with wrath, you know, making us so angry that we leave our path of peace. And like they bring out here, it says it will surely lead to a tragic path, you know, and it's not so easy to deal with things that we have issues with, especially if we have to deal with somebody that just wants to make us pull all our hair out, you know. And, you know, and he brings out that, you know, of course we all feel this way, but, you know, sometimes, you know, we just have to, you know, we have to choose a path. Either we're going to take that path of wrath, or we're going to take some control that we can, and, you know, or used for me, you know, sometimes you have to use the authorities to take care of situations. And, you know, for me, you know, love is when you walk away when you cannot reason with somebody. This was very well penned, and I really enjoyed the message that they had here. And Pam, I know you just got back. Were you able to hear any of David and Teresa's poem?
Well, I didn't hear it, but I was able to just finish reading it. And I have to say, this is a wonderful collaboration that they've done together. Great imagery. I really like how it speaks on the idea of keeping your emotions in check. And as you said, knowing when to walk away. So excellent writing, very well done.
I agree. Thank you. And Dexter, what did you think of Teresa's and David's poem?
Yeah, I thought it was very well done. This is seems like to me like one of those tried and true poems. It could have been written 100 years ago. It could be written 100 years from now. A lot of the sentiment is going to be shared and is just going to reign true when it comes to humanity, and there's going to be always a relatable side to that. And so I thought that they captured it well.
Agreed. Thank you. And Laurent, you did a good job in reading this. What did you think?
Oh, I've got to echo the sentiments of Dexter and Pam. What struck me most was that the fight will continue every single day, pulling at us to give up our way, and get sucked into a world of lies, ensuring a dark and deadly demise. You know, that sometimes that fight is against ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's that imposter syndrome. Am I good enough? I don't belong. I don't deserve praise. Sometimes that can really eat at you. And then that will lead us on a tragic path. So it's an ongoing fight, an ongoing dance, if you will, that you have to maintain. And what allows it to win eventually is that love. And it can win, you keep that uppermost in your mind. So, lovely piece.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Fantastic comments and poetry. And so I'm going to drop in our next poem. And I'm so happy that Pam came back because it's her turn.
All right. Just in time. All right, this is It's Not Too Late by Average White Man. I am crippled by this burden, the weight of unfulfilled sin. Forgive me, my love, for I love beautiful things. Take this yoke from me, place it on the ground. Leave me just the memories, like littered clues, hints of love and its cries with a haunting resound. Will you wait for me? Shouldn't your bonds be removed? Will you embrace the solitude or seek the comfort of an interlude? Will you wait for me till the sun burns from the sky? Let the years pass by as you age like lilac wine. I will wait for you. Should the worst come to pass, I will embrace the quiet eternal nothingness of the everlast. I am weighted by these thoughts, and the joy that you could bring. Forgive me, my love, for I love beautiful things and poems.
This was just beautifully read by you, Pam. I really love this poem. He got the gold medal. Congratulations on Lover. You should have come over. Sometimes we do things, and to me, when we ask for forgiveness and we've shown that whatever we've done that we're sorry for and that we're not going to do it again, especially if you have loved somebody for a long time, will they give you the opportunity and give you that forgiveness that you seek because all you want to do is love them? He says, I really love this. He says, will you wait for me till the sun burns from the sky? Let the years pass by as you age like lilac wine. I will wait for you. He says with his last breath, he will wait for her. And I really loved the extension of the beauty where even in as she ages, the only thing he sees is the beauty and the love within her that he would like back and, for him to be forgiven. This was a beautiful, gorgeous poem. What did you think, Laurent?
I can't help but agree with you. Hang on, I'm just getting back to the page. I've been listening without reading. This is like a plea, if you will, a lyrical plea for someone who is not available to him right now, but he asks Nicole to wait for him until the sun burns from the sky and wonders if the years that pass by as you age like lilac wine with a question mark, will you age that well? Because I will wait for you.
Mm-hmm.
And if silence is the answer, then I will embrace the quiet eternal. It's a beautiful plea for love. It's a call for a love, a call to an existing love. It's lyrical and it's beautiful.
Thank you. Beautiful comment. And what did you think about the poem, Dexter?
And I thought, and nothing in this comment I hope doesn't come off negative, because that's what I love about poetry, is that I think that poetry has to always speak for everybody in all these certain instances. And I think in this instance, it's very one-sided on the view that the writer's coming from. And you know what? And that's what's beautiful about that, is because sometimes that side needs to be said. But to say it's not too late and I hope that you come back, well, it's not too late to you. It doesn't mean that it's not too late for the other person. And so and so I thought that this was a like Laurent said, a plea for love. It doesn't mean that it can be as beautiful as it wants. It doesn't mean that, it can take back what happened, and it doesn't change the other person's thoughts. So very well done.
Thank you, Dexter. Well, point given. And how about you, Pam?
Yeah, I really like what everybody had to say. This is just a beautiful, heartfelt write, and it does, you feel the sadness in it, and that, especially with the questions, with the wondering if the person will return and feeling that weight and the emptiness. I really thought this was beautiful all the way through, but especially those end lines. I'm weighted by these thoughts and the joy that you could bring. Forgive me when I love, for I love beautiful things. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Agreed. Thank you, everybody. And I'd like to welcome Weaver of Dreams to the show. Hey, Katie.
Hello, my darling. How are you?
I'm fine.
Hey,
I guess I forgot to tell you, but, in the United States, we spring forward 1 hour, and in the wintertime we fall back 1 hour, which does not help our European friends who do not do this silly thing. And I'm so sorry. I should have told you.
Well, that's okay. We actually do the same thing, but we don't do it yet. So it's not.
That's so weird. I just thought. Sorry, go ahead.
Carry on.
No, that's so weird.
Oh, you guys changed. Go ahead, Dex.
No, I was just saying that's so weird. I thought everybody changed.
Yes, we do, but obviously at a different time because we haven't changed yet. And I had no idea until I looked at the screen and I thought, hello, what's happening? You know, they're an hour in and I'm not on it.
Sorry.
Listen, that's okay, darling. Honestly, not a problem. I'm just annoyed that I wasn't there, that's all. Yeah.
That's okay. Were you able to listen to the average white poem, white man's poem?
No, my dear, because I was busy setting up and getting the pages open and everything, so I'm afraid I didn't.
Okay. Well, we're still in the first hour. I put in the next poem because we're almost at open poetry. So then I will let you take over that and putting the links in. And so we're going to do, right now we have Glow Lizzy. And since you haven't read yet, would you like to read her poem?
Of course I would. That would be my pleasure.
Thank you.
Give me a moment to get there. I had it and it's disappeared again. This is the story of my life. It comes and it goes. Oh my goodness, you have gone through a lot. Well done, people. I'm still going down the list. Oh, Philip. Yay. Changes in the wind. No, not changes in the wind. Hang on.
You're cocooned in webs.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Honestly, get it right, get it wrong.
Well, it's because you got all frazzled when you saw everything rolling and you're going like, what happened?
I was actually, because I thought, well, I may have been sitting here watching a terrible film. I should have been seeing that. Okay. Honestly, here we have it. Cocooned in webs. Sorry about the delay. Okay. Cobwebbed thoughts weaved, intricately spiraling behind shaded eyes. Stitches, crocheted threads of blood lace lies. Dripping silken language from spider fangs. Acid burns tattoos flesh, carved every etched into brainstem. Cocooned in webs, she sleeps, laid upon a bed of deceit. End poem.
You did a fabulous job in reading Glow Lizzy's poem. I really love her imagery in here. You know, she talks about the dark, you know, images of life of what it goes through. But what really captured me is when she said where I said that you drew us into the deception. And I love the wording where she says, cocooned in web, she sleeps. Laid upon a bed of deceit. And, you know, there is nothing worse than laying upon a cocooned web of deceit. You know, some people can lie from here to Timbuktu, and they just keep on lying. It doesn't matter whose life they destroy, including yours. What did you think about this poem, Laurent?
I love the poem. I love the form, especially. Drifting downwards, almost as if the cobwebs were slipping down, almost as if the blood-laced lies, they're dripping silken language from spider fangs. It just carries you down to the inevitable conclusion, cocooned in webs, he sleeps, laid upon a bed of deceit. Powerful, powerful piece, and what lying can do to you, burning tattooed flesh.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. And how about you, Pam? Thank you, Laurent.
Yeah, this is a wonderful brevity, a powerful imagery and metaphors. I really like how she uses the spider web as like a creating of a spider web as an extended metaphor for speaking on the idea of people who trap themselves in their own lies. I especially like the imagery of stitches, crocheted threads of blood-laced lies dripping silken language from spider fangs. You know, it seems like that these dripping silken language speaks really well on the idea of somebody who tries to smooth talk their way out of something. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you so much. And what did you think about Glow's poem, Dexter? Thank you, Pam.
I thought it was a great piece. I think you could go either way. I really liked what Pam said. I took it slightly differently. I thought if it as somebody whose lies and all of these things have somewhat you trapped and they're kind of sucking you dry. Sometimes we can feel attracted or whatever it is to someone so much that we get trapped within their lies, and it's really just draining us. So very well done.
Agreed. Thank you. And Katie, you read her poem. I'd like to know your thoughts.
Oh yes, I love a cobweb. It's so neat, so beautiful. And so I can only imagine what it would be like to be in one with one around you. That would be incredible. But obviously not in this case, because these lies are going on and people are getting hurt. So I thought this was very beautifully written. I love that first couple of lines, cobweb, thought weaved, intricately spiraling. That's just beautiful. So Glory G, it's a lovely poem. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you, everybody, for your wonderful comments. We are now into the open hour of poetry. We're going to go through all the open poetry. If we have time, we will go back to the top of the list of the front page picks. And just like all the other shows, whatever poems are not read will be added to the next program. So I get to my right-hand girls here, and I'm happy to have you. I'm sorry, Katie, I should have told you the time change, but I didn't think about it. I apologize.
That's okay, my darling. I just thought I was going mad again. It's another an hour. What did I do in that hour? Oh, my God. So, yes. Oh, by the way, hello, everybody. It's lovely to be here. Sorry for the delay. It takes a long time to fly to where you are. Okay. We have the first one up, and this is This Love by Stelina, and there's a sound cloud for this, I think.
And Gray's not here, so let me go and give it a try, and here we go.
This love is not a dream, a golden fantasy, upon which the heart sprouts wings in throes of ecstasy, soaring loftily to the Elysian edge of bliss. 'Tis a flaying of flesh from a whip-scourging kiss. 'Tis not a love pure, gentle and kind. 'Tis a love with unrelenting chains that bind. 'Tis the cruelly cold song of a strangled lark. 'Tis a sinister spectre that stalks in the dark. 'Tis a rabid, wayward wolf gorging its fill. 'Tis a poisonous potion, a bitter pill. 'Tis a conjurer's curse, a sorcerer's spell. 'Tis the ominous toll of a bell's death knell. 'Tis a martyr of melancholia, the slaughter of self. 'Tis the discarded dusty book upon the shelf. 'Tis a raging thirst which can ne'er be quenched. 'Tis torture as from your barren breast your heart is wrenched. 'Tis the grave of the golden days of fall.
music was just sad and beautiful as this poem, you know. There are those who will just keep taking and taking and taking until there's nothing left of you and they give nothing back. You know, where you no longer believe in love, you know, this is just some type of dream that you will never be able to take hold of or experience it in your life. You know, to be in love with me with a rabid wolf, this is a rabid wayward wolf gorging itself, just eating everything out of you. Tis a poisonous portion, a bitter pill, and that is what you receive back from these type of people. And unfortunately, there are people like this, and, you know, God forbid you get involved with somebody like this. What did you think about this poem of Selena's poem, Laurent?
Well, it's love so pure in its offering, dashed, burned, chained, its song strangled, tossed into an open grave carved from a barren breast. Powerful and sad this piece is, melancholy, leaving a lasting impression. Just, I don't know, I don't have words. Outstanding.
Thank you, Laurent. I really liked your comment. It was so honest. And what did you think of Selena's poem, Pam?
Oh, I thought this was absolutely beautiful. The background music she chose, her read, it was a stunning performance. I like how this speaks on unrequited love or the narcissistic personality, as you guys were kind of touching on. And it really is an emotional rite with a great use of alliteration. And it pulls at the heartstrings and how it speaks of the idea of fully giving yourself to love somebody and not having that love returned. And not only not returned, but be played with cruelly. I really thought this was a stunning rite all the way through, but I do particularly like 'tis the cruelly cold song of a strangled lark to the sinister specter that stalks in the dark. 'Tis a rabid wayward wolf gorging its fill. 'Tis a poisonous potion, a bitter pill. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Thank you so much, Pam. Excellent comment. And how about you, Dex?
Yeah, I thought this was a powerful poem. And, you know, kind of what I took out of this is this is somebody taking advantage of somebody, but it's almost somebody that went into it maybe from a childhood thing, maybe had some something, but just with the wrong idea of what love is. Because it seems like at the same time it starts off and kind of almost has the feel of a very strongly sensual relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean love. But
nope.
Somebody can go in with the and be tricked very easily and brought into this when you
yes.
think that just the physical side to things is what equals or means love. And so I just thought that this was a very strong piece.
Thank you so much. And Katie, what did you think?
Oh, yes, it's, as usual, beautifully, beautifully read with the background music, which was a perfect fix for that. Yes, it's awful to be that much in love with somebody who's basically picking you up and dropping you when they feel like it, which is it's just horrible. But what I thought was so heart-wrenching was 'tis the discarded dusty book upon the shelf. Now, that is... you know, being delegated to the lower ranks, as it were. So I thought you did this beautifully. And every single word of that was painfully wrenched. So, yeah, I thought it was a beautiful poem. So thank you very much, Selena.
And Green. And I want to say goodnight to CL. Thank you for hanging out with us. And back to you, Katie.
Okay. So now we have On Reflection by Sylvan A5. Oh, Sylvana.
And,
oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. This Sorry. Is Stellina's sister.
Ah. Right. So, Pam, would you like to read this, please?
She made a recording for her sister. Sorry, Pam.
Okay.
Oh, so
that's great.
Get you next time. Here we go.
On Reflection by the poetess Sylvana Five. Time steals away too fast, the song of youth, the springtime in our hearts, bringing a coolness that quenches the inner flame of sweet desires and ecstasy. Often, in my waking dreams, I recall those golden days when the boldness and the pride of youth strode ahead with vigor. In the still of the night, I live again those endless, sunlit days of love and laughter that dissipate like ingenuous illusions. Sadly, I long for the hopes and unfulfilled promises that have faded like wilted flowers. Life is like a stream flowing silently, unnoticed towards the river. In the autumn of my life, I close my aging eyes and reminisce.
Oh my goodness. I want to thank Stellina for making a recording for her sister. It was absolutely stunning. This made me feel melancholy and sad, you know, and, you know, it makes you think about, you know, how the songs of youth, you know, how, you know, you look at time and then you go, oh my God, what happened? How did I get here? You know? And you know, those aches and pains that you feel rolling out of bed when you used to just jump out of it with 2 hours of sleep and you would just be good to go. But, you know, it's the things that, you know, that you would sit around with your friends in your youth in, you know, in coffee shops or in the grass, you know, drinking a Coke or a coffee. And, you know, you talk about what you want to do in your life, what you would like to have, what you dream of. And then, you know, of course, life, you know, life is life. It just captures us, and you know, a lot of those promises, you know they're unfulfilled, and like she says here, sadly I long for the hopes and unfulfilled promises that have faded like wilted flowers, you know. And you know, I hope that even as we all are aging, because we all age, when we close our aging eyes, that we, you know, still keep those promises, wishes. And if there's not those promises, then find another flower and pick it and fly with it. This was just absolutely gorgeous, Sylvana, and such a beautiful read, Stellina. Thank you. You know, and I wrote in here, as I said, this took me to so many streams that I've not been able to walk and enjoy its windings of what I've not experienced. The beauty of memories cherished and collected times that I have passed. How youth truly doesn't appreciate the moments at hand. I love this poem because I can find myself in your lines. Oh, brings tears to my eyes. And Laurent, what did you think?
Yeah, I agree with every word you say. I was very taken by this piece, especially by that last stanza, Life is like a stream flowing silently unnoticed towards the river in the autumn of my life. I close my aging eyes and reminisce. You know, these are words that ring in equally aged ears. Words that may be alien to the young, whose lives are still a babbling brook, not yet grown to a stream and into a river flowing silently unnoticed. I think this poem is wonderfully relatable and elegant in its straightforward expression.
Great. Thank you, Nat. And how about you, Pam?
This is beautiful. I love how she poured so much heart into writing these words. It's a wonderful write that has a bittersweet, nostalgic feel. And I like how it speaks on the way that time flies too quickly and leaves those memories and those things that we cling to. I really like, in the still of the night, I live again those endless sunlit days of love and laughter that dissipate like ingenious illusions. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Great. Thank you, Pam. Lovely comment. And how about you, Katie?
I'm here.
Are you on mute, Katie?
I was looking for the button. It's black upon black. I've got a little black reed sitting on a black table, so I couldn't find it. My goodness me. Yes, sorry. Where was I?
Commenting?
Yes.
Hopefully.
Well, if you can wait long enough, I'll certainly get there. Yes, I thought that was beautiful. It's just one of those evenings for me. Yes, I thought that the first stanza are so heartbreaking. Time steals away too fast. The song of youth, the springtime in our hearts, bringing a coolness that quenches the inner flame of sweet desire and ecstasy. Our time is such an annoying thing. Like, I've lost an hour. Other people are doing something they love, so that time is going so quickly. And then you have some other poor soul sitting in a bedsit, miserable, and time just goes very slowly. So I love the fact that you're reminded that time can be a fast-flowing river, and, you know, you have to live everything and enjoy everything while you can. It was lovely. Thank you.
Okay, Katie, we're ready for our next open poetry.
Okay. This is Poetic Picasso, which has got a sound proud, yes, and it's called Erotic Drug.
Okay. All right. And thank you, Katie. You got it posted in the group?
Yep.
Okay. Here we go.
Baby, my body is injected with the erotic drops of your passion, like a sweet taste of thick honey. I can't stop consuming a sinful dalliance played with such a delicious seduction, causing me to eagerly imbibe from its sensual addiction. It is a wild lust that makes me shiver with its exotic potency. A dripping sip of a fresh cocktail lingering in my craving tongue. An irresistible drug that makes me melt in the sweat of humidity. For I am high on its alluring love and chemistry. I just want to know its effects and be captivated by its aesthetic attraction. Be drenched with the arousal of its addictive substance. Satisfy the irrepressible urge for more of this rapture. But I have to know when to stop or let it swallow me like a tsunami. Every one of your kisses are enriched with deep layers of sexuality. When we make love like the roaring waves of the ocean, and I hold you in my arms as we sail upon the crescendo. to our bodies, release the climatic moments of the tides. Eres la droga que llena mi sed de hambre, la amante de la noche que me tenta y seduce, esa pasión que extiende por todo mi cuerpo, pidiendo más y más de tus labios mojados. You are the drug that sates my thirst and hunger, the love of the night that tempts and seduces me, that passion that spreads throughout my body, begging for more and more of your wet lips. Sexy baby, let me be the cigar sizzling in your mouth. In the poem.
There's nothing like sexy jazz with sensual poetry. I'm sorry I went while he was reading his poem, but I couldn't help myself. I loved it when I heard him read Teniendo más y más de tus labios mojados. Oh, that was just so deliciously tempting and hot. His imagery in here, you know, that he described what the erotic drug is, and it says that he can't stop consuming. And, you know, he talks about that it's a dripping sip of a fresh cocktail lingering on my craving tongue, you know, where he talks about it's like a sweet taste of thick honey. I can't stop consuming. Dripping with passion. So I would love to hear what everybody has to say. And our next commenter is Laurent.
It's an erotic drug that is happily still legal. Although you never know. You try and tax everything these days. I enjoyed this. I enjoyed this as much as I enjoyed it the first time it was presented for listening pleasure. And certainly never disappointing from Brett, master of the slightly erotic, deeply romantic.
Thank you, Laurent. And what did you think, Pam?
This is beautifully written couplet. Amazing imagery and metaphors. Great eroticism all the way through. I like how it speaks on being addicted to a lover sexually. And I especially like be drenched with the arousal of its addictive substance, satisfy the irrepressible urge for more of this rapture. But I have to know when to stop or let it swallow me like a tsunami. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Excellent comment. And how about you, Dex?
Yeah, I like that part that Pam hit on, you know. Because, you know, boy, I have to stop now and let it swallow me like a tsunami. I mean, it's a tsunami swallowing you. It's like, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die this way, I guess. So I thought it was a great
write. Thank you, Dexter. And how about you, Katie?
Oh yes, this is very good. Sensual and romantic and sexy and very well read. I can't see what I was going to say next. So on we go. I love when we make love like the roaring waves of the ocean, because that, you know, that's a typical kind of background noise, isn't it? The sound of the ocean. That's just so lovely. Mm-hmm. Imagine being on the sand. Very nice. Yes, and drenched with the arousal. I'm trying to keep my cool. Drenched by the arousal of its addictive substance. Satisfy the irresistible urge for more of the I'm putting it sometimes.
Yeah, we can tell.
Oh my! You know, the problem is that my mouth is saying the words that I'm looking at, but I'm going down the page at the same time while I'm reading, and I'm thinking, "Don't do that. You've got to just stay where you are. You'll get lost." But yes, I thought it was brilliant. Thank you, Frank,
for your erotic drug. And we're so glad that it's not being taxed. Laura, that contact cracked me up. Okay, we're ready for our next poem.
Okay. The next one we have, this is a front page pick by Lauren 67. I'll just send that now. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Laurent, would you like to read this, please?
Okay. Sorry, you caught me unprepared.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oops.
Okay.
We won't ask for explanations. We'll just say, I'm glad you're here.
The Adventures of Nigel the Fat Cat and His Homie Alfie. At front page pick. Nigel, oh, hello there. We heard you do the front page pick, if you don't mind. Front page pick. Can't pick your own front page pick. I can't? Okay. Alfie, would you do the honors? Yes, thank you. I would like to do the front page pick for my pal Nigel. Have you been assigned as a picker? Well, no, but I did kick at the Black Cat Lives Matter rally because all lives matter. You know what I mean? Now, if you don't mind, we'd like to do the front page pick. We will take a half quarter horse and a half wrapper, $12.50, the win placer show in the ninth race, and Seattle Stew and Seed Biscuit show in the noon matinee race, and let me see, in the handicap race, we'll take three-legged wheelchair Annie to show. What? This isn't a horse race. It's a front page picks and poetry. Poetry, what race is he in? Alfie, check him out promptly. Aye, sonnet, boss. He must be a last-minute brevity. Nigel, poetry is running next. He's between Rai Ming and Haiku. Bet it all. End poem.
I really enjoyed listening to you read Lawrence's poem about Nigel. And the conversation between Nigel and Alfie, I like his sense of humor, especially when, you know, he says that, you know, that this isn't a horse race. These are front page picks and poetry. And then I really liked how Alfie says, I sonnet boss, he must be a last minute brevity. Nigel, poetry is running next. He's between rhyming and hike. Bet it all. Wonderful poem. I enjoyed it. And what did you think of the poem, Pam?
I did enjoy the humor in this. I always enjoy the adventures of Nigel and Alfie. I thought Lawrence did a fabulous read. I like how this is humor about poetry, and so fun write and very well done.
Agreed. Thank you, Pam. And how about you, Dex?
Yeah, I thought that, you know, this poem captured some of the insaneness and just some of the goofballness that goes along with selecting a front page pick. Jill was here for this comment because she would appreciate this. But one thing that I really love about our group is that people select front page picks it being a deserving poem, which I can't be said for other groups that I've seen. Some people just select them just because it's your friend, you know? So I thought that this was a great pick.
I agree. Thank you, Dexter. How about you, Katie?
Oh, I love these poems. I look forward to them so much. It's such, always so clever. Oh, and I love the fact that they talk about people that you know. So that's also so much fun. But I'm sorry, it's just so funny. Ah, dear. Nigel, well, hello there. We're here to do the front page pick, if you don't mind, my good man. Front page pick? You can't pick your own front page pick. Lovely. I just love it. Very, very, very clever. More, please. Do not ever stop writing these because they're fabulous.
Thank you, Katie. And Laurent, you did a great job in reading this. What did you think?
I thought it was very clever and very inventive, excuse me. I couldn't resist trying to add a little bit of extra to the words. It just invited it. I loved the whole, we will take half quarter horse and half rabbit, $12.50, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It was really, really genuinely amusing. And hard, you know, again, it was hard to do. This succeeded.
Yes, it did. And thank you. Thank you, everybody. And we're ready for our next poem, Katie.
Okay. We have Birth of the Pegasus by S. Sharp. Dex, could you read this for us, please?
Oh, there's a recording.
Oh, no, is there?
Sorry.
Sorry. I didn't. No, it's all right.
No problem. And here we go.
Birth of the Pegasus. Along shadowed rocks, black waves crash upon the Aegean shore. Stone islands cast from Gorgon eyes peak above midnight under the vacuous moon. Perseus surreptitiously slicing through calm approaches, blade swearing upon the blood of nature's birth. The wind will turn by morning on the swing of his sword. Sleeping vipers encircled by destiny wrap about Medusa's neck. Sensing the venom of the forged steel, hissing they nibble at their goddess's neck, hoping to prevent the bite to come. Upon the rocky shore, dark waves reflect moonlight. Perseus eyes the rippled reflection, the nested beast sleeps in waves upon the shore. Perseus wields the beveled blade. A flash of moonbeams beheads the beast. Dark Gorgon blood spills upon the crust of the rocks. Medusa herself created. Snakes feigning to strike, engulfed in the gnarled fist. Execution complete. Perseus holds the severed head above his own, screaming to the far ends of darkened eternity. Medusa's blood sprays out rain into the churning sea. The sea rises up, waves roll, foaming at Perseus's feet. The moon sinks in the sky, approaching to witness the majesty. Cold black eyes bleed upon luminous white hair as the white steed, salted in sea foam, whinnies, rising from out of the sea, blood splashing, lightning crackling, flashes illuminate the horse. She rears back and spreads her wings 6 feet to a side. With a whoosh, her wings flap. She takes to the sky. Soaring with each powerful push, she rises to the constellations. Pegasus is born.
I want to thank Sharp for that fantastic poem. It was just epic storytelling. It was riveting. It was like watching a movie. I love mythology, and I enjoy not only reading about it, you know, but also when you can experience it, you know, and I, you know, you could just hear the roaring waves and you could just see those snakes biting around Medusa. You know, this was just a stunning and stirring storytelling of Pegasus and Medusa. I really loved this. And not only did I love it, his reading just brought it to life and made the words move in my mind. It was fantastic. And Laurent, I know you said you needed a few moments. Are you back? Okay. Well, we're waiting for Laurent to come back. Pam, what did you think?
Oh, I thought this was just epic and such a wonderful read. I've read this poem before, and it's definitely worth hearing again because I do love a good mythology story, well told. And he brings us into the moment that Pegasus is created from the spilled blood of Medusa. Powerful imagery all the way through, especially like the imagery in the sea rises up, waves roll foaming at Pegasus's feet. The moon sinks in the sky, approaching to witness the majesty. Coal black eyes bleed upon luminous white hair as the white feet salted in seafoam whinnies. Just great imagery, great storytelling, and very well done.
And great, fantastic comment, Pam. Thank you. And how about you, Dex?
Yeah, very good, mythological poem. And, you know, this could be an education or, a clinic on descriptive words. You know, he just does such a good job of adding that extra descriptive.
Yeah.
Or just, you know, that adjective onto the point. And so I just thought it was a very well done write.
Great. I agree with you too, Dexter. Thank you. And how about you, Katie?
Oh, yes. Fascinating. I love the fact that you keep on learning all the time. It's so cool. But this, as the white steed salted in sea foam whinnies, rising from out of the sea, blood splatting, lightning crackling, flashes illuminate the horse. I mean, that's, I just think that's so clever. So the whole thing is in your mind's eye now. You know, you see what's happening. And the horse rears her wings and flies off. I thought that was beautifully written and very well read. So thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Yeah. It was fantastic. And we're back to you, Katie.
Okay. Oh, dear. Sorry, I've gone down the page too far. There we are. Here we have it. Right. Imprisoned at the border of a fresh start. And this is our very own Duke of STP Dex. Would you like to read this?
Absolutely. This is imprisoned at the border of a fresh start. Vacation and uncertainty. Surfing a ripple of delirium. Balancing at the crest. Spend my daylight savings. Frozen in a different time. Like a stove clock I never set. A long-winded self-lecture. Projecting like a desperate sales pitch. Questioning why I waste my breath, losing patience with each attempt, as answers only leave more questions, and water my invasive anger. Every tomorrow held hostage, negotiating a spiritual standoff with a broken heart that won't forgive. End poem.
Oh, Dexter. Would you like to comment on your poem? On what inspired your writing, you want to share with us?
I don't know if anything inspired it. It's just hard to move forward when you just can't bring yourself to quite forgive certain people and certain things. And so that was just more along. So,
people's actions determine how you relate to them, and I thought you brought this out. You know, sometimes you feel, you said questioning why I waste my breath. Sometimes you do, but then, what this has taught me is to keep those type of people that make me lose control of my anger, and I keep them, either I don't speak to them, or I keep it what I call a professional distance. And to me, this doesn't matter whether it's a friend of mine, it's somebody that I loved, or it's a family member. Some people are toxic, and you do have to keep them at a certain length, especially when you can't avoid contact with them. And then those are those that, you love and you love deeply, and you realize that you can confide in them and speak with them. But, when somebody has hurt you deeply, like you bring out your last stanza, and it depends of what they've done and if they've changed. And and they don't always change, you know, and it does. It, you know, every tomorrow held hostage because you can't get involved in the life and the life that you want it to be, the relationship. And negotiating a spiritual standoff, I always find that doesn't always work. I give it a shot, but it doesn't work. And with a broken heart that won't forgive, it's not that I don't forgive. It's that I won't forget. So that, you know, that puts me in a different stance. You know, I see what you've done, and it's not that I can forgive you. It's that what you've done has made that decision for me, and I'm so sorry if this is true and you've had to gone through that. Besitos corazón. I'm so sorry. And I would like, Lawrence, are you back?
Thank you.
I am.
Were you able to hear Dexter read his poem?
I was, and it was very moving. That first line,
yes,
a vacation and uncertainty, is a wonderful start in setting the stage for what follows. Remember, forgiving is a very heavy stone. It's a great weight that punishes that same lack of forgiveness. Every tomorrow held hostage, negotiating a spiritual standoff with a broken heart that won't forgive. And whether it's your heart or another heart that you speak of, I suspect that it's yours. It is a weight best dropped eventually, as soon as possible. You'll feel so much lighter for it.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you, Laura.
And Pam, what did you think?
I thought this was an amazing write. And you're right, Dexter, it is difficult to forgive somebody who has hurt us. And oftentimes it is the huge weight that we carry with ourselves. I really like not only the message of this poem and the humanity and heart that's put into it, but the clever way that you play with words, especially in the second stanza where you bring in daylight savings. Spend my daylight savings frozen in a different time, like the stove clock I never set. I like that stanza being there in the middle of this heart-wrenching poem because it puts a smile on my face while at the same time making me think about the idea of the things and the people that we waste our time on. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Pam. And how about you, Katie?
Oh, such a heart-wrenching story. So sad. I'll say it again. Oh, I won't say it again. What I will say is, unfortunately, hatred and not being able to forgive somebody kind of hurts you more than it hurts them. Because they're not aware of it. They just go on with their life, never give it a thought. But you are the one who's holding that in your heart, and it's tainting everything and making everything gray and horrible when there's no sunlight, no sunshine, no colors. And it's very, very sad. It's just the most difficult thing in the world to live with. Yeah. So I am so sorry, and I hope things get better very quickly.
And we're
Thank
ready
you,
for our next poem.
Okay, then, our next one is Clouds Have Edges by our very own Laurent. Would you care to give this a read for us?
Yes, certainly. Clouds of Edges. Clouds of edges that cut the sky. A silver boil that fractures beautifully. Each rainbow-clad drop splashing brown into the mud of earth that slides. Green carpets of jigsaw trees and homes cascading, crackling in breath of a thousand breaking dreams, hillsides plain smooth, ochre scars at angles to paint. Spades of white buried with wandering pointillism, golem weather speaking with two voices, ice freezing spring's green fire, stilling tongues of the newborn. White-capped mountains groan under the weight of their water. Patience in blue crystal. Be reborn with the sun's floods. scouring the spirit survivors. Oh, California, golden child of the West, first to feel corkscrewing extremes of season, air roiled by the poison of man's eager motion across the face of a spinning earth, bits flaking, falling dominoes triggered by the modern fires of ambition, birthed without understanding the blood cost of success. And
Oh, Laurent, you know, for me, this poem, just reading each stanza is deeply heartbreaking. We can just look at what man is doing to the earth, and it's enough to make me cry because there's no respect for Mother Earth. I mean, we have no other planet to go to. There is no place for us to live. And yet they keep burning down the forest. We see where one moment there is no rain, and then the next moment it doesn't stop raining or doesn't stop snowing, and people are just trying to survive floods, fires, the cold weather. And I really loved your ending stanzas where you said, oh, California, golden child of the West, first to feel corkscrewing extreme of season, air roiled by the poison of man's eager motion across the face of the spinning earth, bits flaking, falling dominoes triggered by the modern fires of ambition, birth without understanding the blood cost of its success. And, you know, and that, you know, just touched me so deeply because this is what we're seeing, and we're especially seeing it in California, the trends of global warming, how it's just, how angry Mother Earth is, you know, and does this stop, you know, for example, fracking? You know, we don't have drinking water, but yet they toss a lot of that water down there to be poisoned when it comes back up, you know, but the falling dominoes, and, you know, and I really loved what you said there. It has triggered falling dominoes, and it's a disaster that we can't hide from as human beings, neither the life on Earth, the animal life. We're trying to survive, but yet the ambition, the greed, and, you know, this is all pushed by greed. Greed is one of the worst enemies towards human beings because it shows its lack of humanity. And now we have to live with their decisions. Well, Penn Laurent, I love this poem, and thank you for writing it. And I would like to know, thank you, what you think, Pam.
Oh, I thought this is absolutely amazing. Just brilliant in imagery and metaphors, a powerful right on the effects our actions have on the earth and the air that we breathe. I really like the imagery in Spades of White Berry with wandering pointillism, Gollum weather speaking with two voices, ice freezing springs, green fire, stilling tongues of the newborn. Just great lines all the way through, and very well done, Laurent.
Thank you,
Pam. And Dexter.
Yeah, what a fantastic write, Laurent. And yeah, you know, California can experience such, you know, they're the place that experiences the extremes. You know, they have the snow-covered mountains to earthquakes to, you know, everything in between. And, you know, and whether you intended it that way or not, I just picked, you know, when you wrote the line, oh, California, the golden child of the West, you know, in a lot of ways that, you know, California does in itself almost represent that person in Hollywood going, you know, if you're going for it, it's beautiful weather. You know, if you're going for it, like, this could be paradise, but it also can be a nightmare too. And so it's in itself,
yeah.
it almost represents that life too, of being the golden child. So I just thought that this was a fantastic rant.
Thank you, Dex.
Thank you, Dexter. And Katie.
Oh, beautifully done. It really is. I do wish that before it's too late, we start to learn, but it's kind of scary. So thank you for bringing that to our attention. And perhaps things will change. I can't imagine, but perhaps they will. It's a poem that also has hope in it, I think, it's there. You know, there's a chance. We can do it. So I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you. We're ready for our next poem.
Okay, our next poem is Back to the Time of Black and White Days by Titus Llewellyn. And is there a SoundCloud for this?
Yes, there surely is.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a second. Oof, I got lots of... Oh, my goodness, where is it? I don't see it. I don't know if Bill had enough time to put it up. It appears that she didn't. So what we'll do is we'll wait until next week if you could go to the next poem. Sorry, Titus.
Yes, of course. No
I will
problem.
Add it next. I will add it next Monday.
Okay, we have Shades of Darkness. We'll go in just a second. I'm getting quite quick at this now. You think I've done it before? So this is Shades of Darkness by Poetic Creations. Dexter, would you like? Dex, would you like to read this?
Certainly. Oh, hold on. I'm almost done on this comment with Laurent. Hold on. Yes, I will.
I would like to read this one.
Okay. Lovely.
Okay, yeah, I was like a few words off of my comment on Laurent. Sorry.
Okay.
Sure. No problem. Yeah, I would love to read this one. Thank you. All right, this is Shades of Darkness by Poetic Creations, and it goes like this. The raven's wings are made of scales, like the fine ones on dragon wings, that when enveloped by wildfire, spread wide like happy petals in sunlight. Tastes of caramel, still turning darker, linger on my bloody taste buds, blooming like a dying crocus, desiccating beneath a noon-high sun. That belly full of yesterday's full moon, up and fell rancid fall time, turning not darker shades, but the total blackness of a solar eclipse, a ring of fire round thorny barrel lips, sinking in the rivers of passion, dredging romance from the oceans of a stellar black hole rising, and poem.
Ooh, you did a fabulous job of reading Poetic Creations poem, Pam. I really enjoyed it. I loved his metaphors here. You know, they're rich and they're deep, and I was loved that first stanza, the raven's wings are made of scales, like the fine ones on dragon wings that when enveloped by wildfire, spread like happy petals in the sunlight. Oh, that imagery is just fantastic. You can just literally see that glistening, the scales glistening in the sunlight and just looking like happy petals. I could just see this. That is one of the most beautiful examples of metaphors I have ever read, where he talks about the shades of darkness, but in the shades of darkness, there is such a beauty when light hits it.
I love that. What did you think, Laurent?
You want to talk about shades of darkness. There's a thing called shadow playing, where you play with the darkness in your soul in order to get better from the anxiety or depression you have. And it's almost works in that vein. He seems to be developing an image of darkness combined with the temptation to extrapolate this into a vampire poem, lingering on my bloody taste buds. But I'm not sure that's accurate at all, because initially it's wildfire. It spreads wide like happy petals in sunlight. But I couldn't quite see that, but it was just a taste of something very, very dark, that particular statement, especially when followed with that belly full of yesterday's full moon up and fell, rancid at fall time, turning not darker shades, the total blackness of a solar eclipse, which from nonetheless exists that ring of fire on thorny barrel lips. And maybe that's where the bloody taste buds come from. Either way, what a wonderful poetry piece this
mm-hmm.
is.
Thank you. And what did you think about the poem that you read, Pam?
Oh, I thought this is just amazing imagery and metaphors, a wonderful and emotive dark rite. I like how it starts out almost on the idea of offering up something beautiful and pure, and then the destruction mm-hmm. of it. It's almost like the whole idea of the destruction that happens from those fires that burn within ourselves. So excellent write and very well done.
Excellent comment, Pam. And how about you, Weaver?
Oh, yes. Beautiful. Shades of darkness. Raven's wings are made of scales. Like those fine ones on a dragon's wing. I thought this was very, full of everything. Taste of caramel, rose honey darker. Lingered on my bloody taste buds. Yes, I thought it was just very, there's romance, there's sadness.
Mm-hmm.
So well done. So I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that was an excellent poem. And we are at the end of the night. Well, like I said, whatever poems that were not read, and I'm sorry, Titus, there wasn't enough time to get up your link, but I will put it at the beginning of next Monday's show. And I want to thank Phil for all her help and Laurent. Pam, Dexter, and Katie, I love you guys. And everybody that hung out in the group, Hope, Nuno, CL, if I missed anybody, I'm sorry. I love you. And stay tuned for After Midnight. Love you guys. Besos.
Good night.
Good night, Katie. Good night, Pam. Good night, Laurent. Good night, guys.